Well, this is the week of Christmas. And as the song asks, what have you done? Another year is almost over, and a new one is about to begin. Some may have already opened some presents. Others may still be anxiously awaiting. But I want to ask the question tonight. Of the gifts that you have received or that you think you will receive, did you get yourself anything? You've probably seen that occasion. Probably happened at Walmart, maybe Toys R Us, where the little child is taking that toy that he wants and he's secretly placing it over into the basket while his mother's looking the other way. That occasion happened in front of Mark Posey a few years back, and he said that as he watched it unfold, it was one of those stories where you saw what was going to happen, you knew what was going to happen, and you just sat there and watched it play out yet again. The little child reached over and got the toy and started placing it over into the basket. The mother turned around just in time to see the item fall into the shopping cart, at which she said, "Derek, what do you think you're doing? You know Christmas is almost here. We can't buy that for you now." To which he responded, "But Mom, I want to get me this for Christmas." Very bright young man. And Mark Posey said at that thought, he had to say, "Attaboy, attaboy." But have you really given it any thought about what you would get yourself? Maybe that item that you want, that you hope that others have gotten the idea, gotten a hint that you want. But if no one happens to get it for you, you may just well get it for yourself. Maybe you'll use some money that you receive as a gift to go out and buy that one very precious, very special thing that you have on your mind. There are some things like that I want. There's some things that I want to give myself for Christmas. They're not physical. They're spiritual. I want to give myself a greater faith. A greater faith in the provisions of God. God provides for all our needs. Philippians chapter 4 might be a passage of Scripture that we would look at and consider more closely. As Paul there discusses that those in Philippi wanted to help him, verse 10, but they had as yet not really had the opportunity to do so. Verse 11 and 12, Paul told the Philippian brethren that he was not harmed by their lack of opportunity to do that which they wanted to do in helping him. Paul knew how to be content with what he had, for it was what he needed. He needed to learn to be content with the things which he had. And sometimes he was full and sometimes he was hungry, but he knew that God would provide what he really needed when it was needed. Paul was content in every situation because he knew what he informed us of in verse 13, Philippians 4. "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." Paul was able to be content. He told the Philippian brethren that he was in great need at some points. And when in that great need, they shared with him. They provided for him. He knew that it was God who was actually providing for his needs, but he used the Philippian brethren to provide for Paul's needs. Verse 15 and verse 16 in the text, he said, "That you provided for me when no one else could," or possibly when no one else would. God provided for me through you. Paul reported then in verse 18, I have what I want. I have what I need. Listen to his words, Philippians 4, verse 18. But I have received everything in full and have an abundance. I am amply supplied, having received from Epaphroditus what you have sent, a fragrant aroma, an acceptable sacrifice, well-pleasing to God. And my God will supply all your needs according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Now to God, to our God and Father, be glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul had that which he needed, and so he was able to pass on words of encouragement to the Philippian brethren, that they were the ones that God used to supply his needs, and God would supply their needs as well. And to that then, Paul concluded, verse 20, now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Praise is due to God for the provisions which He provides us with. We shouldn't think, though, that the Philippians were wealthy benefactors of Paul who could have easily spared the money. For Paul described them in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 as being those who gave sacrificially, verses 1 through 5. This promise of God's provisions meant something to the Philippian brethren. It meant something to those in Philippi of Macedonia. They were given the assurance that God will supply all their needs. God will supply all our needs. But it is all that we need, both very broad and yet very restrictive at the same time. Broad enough to cover all of the things which we truly need, yet restrictive enough to say that there are some things we don't really need in this life. I want to give myself a greater faith in the provisions of God, trusting Him to provide for my needs and to be content with that which He supplies, that which He provides. I want to give myself a greater hope, a greater hope in the promises of God. God is faithful and true in everything that He says and everything that He does. So we can count on the promises of God. We can count on them to be absolutely trustworthy. From that, we as Christians draw great hope. Hope from the words of the well-known song, Standing on the Promises of God. The meaning of those words coming forth from every page of the Holy Word of God. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4 shows that God, by His own power, has granted to us His precious and magnificent promises. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12, we are instructed to imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. We are told to hold fast to the confession of our hope without wavering, for He who promised is faithful. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23. Consider the faith and the hope that was involved in it in Romans chapter 4, 19 to 21, concerning Abraham and the promise that he was given. Without becoming weak in faith, he contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet with the respect to the promise of God, he did not waver in unbelief, but grew strong in the faith, giving glory to God and being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able to perform. Do we have the hope and the promises of God. The faith in the promises of God is that is modeled after Abraham. Because the promises of God don't depend on our abilities. They depend upon God. Abraham was 100 years old. Sarah was about 90 years old when Isaac was born. They themselves had zero ability to bear children of themselves. The key to all of it is Abraham's confidence. The hope that he had that God had the power to do what God said he would do. And that God would fulfill that promise. I want a hope like that. I want to give myself a greater hope in the promises of God. And I want to give myself a greater love for the person of God. The strongest thematic message in the Bible is God's love. His love in redeeming man through His Son, Jesus Christ. Everything revolves around God's love for man. God, who created the universe by His spoken word, is a source of love. He is love. Love in its truest, purest, and perfect form. Therefore, we love Him because He first loved us. 1 John chapter 4, verse 19. Let us try to grasp the wide and long and high and deep love that God has for us. God's love endures forever. Psalm 118, verse 1. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His loving kindness is everlasting. The earth is filled with God's love, says Psalm 119, verse 64. His love is even better than life, the psalmist wrote in Psalm 63 and verse 3. Because Your loving kindness is better than life, my lips will praise You. God's love surpasses knowledge. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 19. You being rooted and grounded in love may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and the length and the height and the depth, and to know the love of Christ which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to the fullness of God. Paul also penned the words of Romans chapter 8, verses 38 and 39. I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to give myself a greater love for the person of God. I believe that we can all say that we need a greater faith, a greater hope, and a greater love. Developing a greater faith, hope, and love begins with recognizing what we already have. We looked at Paul being able to be content. And for us to have greater, we must first be content with what we already have. And so we need to count our many blessings. Consider the ways that God blesses us, as recorded in Ephesians, the first chapter. In Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 4, God chose us. He chooses us. What a blessing. Verse 4, just as He chose us in Him, in Christ, before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. And He adopted us. Verse 5, in love He predestined us in adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. Therefore He accepted us, verse 6, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. That's why He redeemed us, verse 7. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. But then He caused His grace to abound toward us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will. God included us in His inheritance, the inheritance which Christ will receive. Verse 13, He sealed us with His Spirit. In Him you also, having listened to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. God's wonderful blessings are numerous. And He continues to shower us with many more blessings. But have we taken the time to stop and count the blessings we have already received? The blessings that can be ours today, so that we might reach even greater heights of faith in our God. In developing greater faith, hope, and love, we must stand on the promises. And the promises are so numerous that we can't look at all of them. We might not even scratch the surface of many of them. But I want you to consider and focus on for just a moment, standing on the promises that God has given to us concerning our sins. In Psalm 103, verse 12, He gives an east-west promise. He says, as far as the east is from the west, so far has He removed our transgressions from us. In Isaiah chapter 1 and verse 18, God has given us the stain remover promise, saying that though our sins are as scarlet, they will be white as snow. Though they are red like crimson, they will be made like wool. He gave us the behind-the-back promise concerning our sins. In Isaiah chapter 38, verse 17, it is You who has kept my soul from the pit of nothingness or the pit of destruction, for You have cast all my sins behind Your back. Isaiah chapter 43 and verse 25, I am the one, God says, who wipes out your transgressions. That is the eraser promise. There is the amnesia promise. Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 34. He said, for I will forgive their iniquity and their sins. I will remember no more. Concerning our sins, He gave us the deep sea promise. In Micah chapter 7 and verse 19, You will cast all our sins into the depths of the sea. God has made many great and precious promises. What a wonderful promise it is to us as sinners to know that God would make such promises concerning our sin, that He will wipe them out. He will separate them far away from us. He will not count them to our account any longer. They are behind Him. They are forgiven and they are forgotten. Thus we can stand on the promises that God has made, not only concerning our sins, concerning salvation, but concerning all promises which He has made. That leaves us asking the question, how does one come to have these blessings? How does one come to have these promises? It is through acceptance of God's offer of love. 1 John chapter 4 and verse number 9. John wrote, "By this the love of God was manifested in us, that God has sent His only begotten Son into the world so that we might live through Him." God has offered His Son so that we might live through Him. Titus chapter 3, verses 4 through 7. "But when the kindness of God our Savior and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life." God's love is amazing. And as we consider it, I ask you to reflect upon John chapter 3 and verse 16 with me. It says, "For God so loved the world," showing the width of God's love. As one has said, He loved the whole wide world, "that He gave His only begotten Son," showing the length of God's love as He extended it down to us from His very throne room. "That whoever believes in Him shall not perish." The depth of God's love. God reaches down to us when we are at our deepest and darkest moments. Sinners, as Romans 5 verse 8 put it. And He reaches down there to rescue us, so that we might have eternal life. That eternal life shows the height. The height of God's love is seen in the place that His love can take us. God's love will take us to heaven if we will be obedient to Him and accept the offer of His love. As we consider God's love is comprehensive. It's overwhelming at times to try to get a grasp, a good handle on the brevity of God's love, the vastness of His love. We need, therefore, to answer yet another question that is raised by all of this. And that is, how does one come to accept God's offer of love? God will wash away our sins. He will keep those promises that we looked at concerning our sins when we, by faith, when we, in the belief in His Son, Acts 16, verse 30 and 31, come to Him, turning away from our sins in repentance, Acts chapter 17, verse 30 and 31, to confess the name of His Son, Romans 10, 9 and 10, to be baptized, immersed in His name for the forgiveness of our sins, Acts 2 and verse 38. The child of God who has been led astray by Satan needs to humble himself before God, James 4 and verse 10. Repent of the sin that is in their life, Acts 17 verse 30. Confess their faults, 1 John 1 and verse 9. And pray for the forgiveness that is needed, Acts 9 verse 22. Or Acts 8, verse 22, in order that we might come into the very love which was our first love, Revelation chapter 2 and verse 4. God has made many promises. He has made these promises concerning our sins, that they will be forgiven, that we can stand right before Him, justified because of the blood of His Son. I want to give myself a greater faith. I want to give myself a greater hope. I want to give myself a greater love. And it begins by me taking a moment to count the blessings that God has already richly blessed my life with. It begins by me standing on the promises that God has given to me. And it begins by me accepting the offer of God's love toward me. Have you accepted that offer? Have you accepted God's love exhibited in His Son who died upon that cross for you and for me? If you have not yet accepted that offer of God's love, we would very, very much encourage you to do that tonight. If you've already accepted God's offer of love, but as a child of God, you've allowed Satan to come into your life and separate you from God once again, God's love is extended to you as well. God wants to bring you back into His fold. He wants to forgive you yet again. That's the beauty of God's love. I hope and I pray that you want to grow in your faith, in your hope, and in your love. And I hope and pray that we can do it together. And in doing it together, we need those who have not yet accepted that offer of love to accept it tonight. Those who have been led astray need to come home so that we can grow together. Tonight, if there's a need in your life to come to Christ, we invite you to come as we stand and as we sing.